Here we go.
There's a drive.
Welcome into the drive.
It's all about intensity.
Swing and a drive.
Don't get out tough. Don't let them rain threes on you.
High drive to left field.
That was incredible.
I think this team showed their full arsenal.
The drive of the game.
So what? The teams are coming after you. Go after them.
Fully impressed with the team effort.
Swing and a drive, and that ball is absolutely right.
Lon finally hit the irrational button.
And he drives one.
Coach Derek Piper here.
Happy to be joined by Josh Whitman,
Brad Underwood,
Brett Bielema, Illinois football coach. How are you, sir?
Let's go for a little ride.
By the way, it is beautiful out. I don't know what the current tip is, but I'm going to look. Because this weather that I'm giving you.
61.
61?
That's what I'm saying.
It's brought to you by Gerber Collision and Glass. And they're open to serve you. All Illinois locations offer contact-free services for your estimate or repair. Visit GerberCollision.com for details. Get it to Gerber. That exciting weather brought to you by Gerber Collision at 61 degrees. It's going to be beautiful. That's what we're saying. All right, before we get to our guy, Matt Cilic, Isaac Ambrose is in. And Isaac, I want you to throw out to everybody what you said when you walked in the door. We actually met each other. I had to run out to my truck. And you said,
Lon, what are you doing with the pair of pants on?
And then I had to explain to you that I had to.
Yeah.
I just didn't have time to get home to throw shorts on. So that is how funny it is. Like, if I come to radio without shorts on, people are like, whoa.
Did you go to a funeral or something?
Right. And not only that, on a day like today.
Yeah.
Like, it'd be different if it was 4 degrees.
Right.
And I give in once in a while when it's cold, and I do wear pants or sweats or something. But yeah, normally, man.
It's a khaki short day.
Boom. And it's beautiful out.
So
oh,
nice.
Beautiful. All right, we'll talk to Isaac as we go along. Appreciate him making the call to Matt Cilic, who is going to join us now. But after I get to hit my cool little... Yeah! Ahmad Rashad, who played football in the NFL, somehow the host of NBA Tonight. I don't even know what it was called. Ahmad Rashad was cool, though. So is Matt Cilic. No, now he's not cool. It's like getting a hold of the NCAA. All right, we're going to try Matt Cilic again. We'll do that and get a hold of him. We're going to talk some NBA with Matt Cilic as we go along. It seemed like there was something that we were talking about right at the end that I wanted to ask you, but I forgot what it was. So it'll come back to me. So let's don't waste it right now as we wait on Matt Cilic, because then, you know,
Was it something more about Indiana?
Maybe, but maybe not. Are they the only... Has Minnesota hired a coach?
Yes, Ben Johnson.
Oh, is he the guy that used to be at Northern Iowa? Yeah. Was he still at Northern Iowa? He had some good Northern Iowa. You know, that okay, I'm going to say this.
No, wait. That's Jacobson, right?
Jacobson, Ben Jacobson. Okay. Ben Johnson. Sounds like a, you know. No, I was thinking Michael Johnson, the hurdler back in the day. We'll find out about
efforting.
Okay, we're efforting that. Right now, I'm going to get to Matt Cilic. What's up, buddy?
Hey, how's it going?
I'm doing well, man. It's always nice to visit with you. Are things going well in your life?
They are. Things are going well. I'm just in the working world, but everything is kind of just frozen in place right now for the last year plus.
Yeah,
but,
no doubt.
All good otherwise.
How did you react, and have you watched any more basketball since Sunday at 1 o'clock? Sorry.
Really, really tough. Really tough experience to watch that game. I kind of was tweeting through the pain for a little bit, and then just had to log off. I couldn't take it.
I agree. It's been hard, and it is hard, and it's just something that I know we're all going to get over, but it's just going to take a while. Derek Piper had a question for you, and it's about brackets. Does anybody fill out NBA playoff brackets? And if so, is it just chalk?
Yeah, I don't think there's really a fervor for it because it's not that hard.
It'd be easy to win, right?
Yeah, there's not that much, you know, you're going to have, like, there's this whole, you know, deal, they make a big deal on ESPN or wherever every year about the perfect bracket, and it's like, nobody's ever done it, or there's been one time ever, or whatever, and, yeah, no, that's, that, there would probably be about hundreds of thousands of perfect brackets a year if they did in the NBA.
Exactly.
You only got to pick, you know, out of 16 teams.
Matt, the NBA trade deadline's coming up, I believe tomorrow, right?
Let's go.
That's what Lon said. He's trying
Correct.
To talk me
yeah.
into the Bulls getting Victor Oladipo, which I'm not sure about. What do you think about that possibility? I know it's the last year of his deal, and the Bulls right there, just outside of the 8th seed right now. What do you make of that possibility?
Yeah, I mean, Oladipo is definitely available. So you know, just traded to the Rockets out of Indiana in this big Caris LeVert deal that included a bunch of other people as well. Obviously, that ended up with James Harden going to the Nets. Oladipo has been kind of shaky. He was out for a little while, and then, you know, kind of is now back up to a sort of healthy enough place to play and has been fine. He was so good a few years ago that I think people are still kind of, it's like still a little bit tantalizing. Like, can he get back to that almost all NBA level performance? You know, one of the maybe 20 best players in the league is how he played a few seasons ago. He hasn't really been there, and so I don't know if I would love it. I think actually, and I, you know, we may talk about this, the guy that I think maybe is more interesting for the Bulls in particular would be like Alonzo Ball, who also is up for a new contract after this year, but because he's a restricted free agent, you basically can guarantee that you're going to lock him up to a long-term extension if you want to. That to me makes a little bit more sense because I also feel like Lonzo is a better shooter than Oladipo. He's, you know, roughly similar defensively, especially sort of this diminished version of Oladipo that we're seeing now. And I think maybe is a better fit as a better playmaker, maybe is a better fit alongside, you know, Zach LaVine being your top, you know, scorer on that team, a 27-point-a-game guy potentially. Like, that to me actually makes a little bit more sense. But I don't think Oladipo is a bad idea. I just would be a little bit surprised. He's a little bit older. He's a little bit not quite as, you know, the it doesn't seem like he's on the rise, I guess, which I think the Bulls are probably still looking for young guys on the rise.
Now, Matt, earlier in the show, I mentioned we kind of talked about different additions, and Kobe White's one that I'm not entirely sold on being the guy going forward. And if you get someone like Alonzo, it would seem that he would slot in, like you said, next to LaVine. And would that say something about the Bulls' confidence in Kobe White, in your opinion? And just kind of how do you view that with White being involved and whether you'd get Alonzo Ball or not?
Yeah, I mean, yes and no. So if White were to stay on the team, you know, maybe Lauri Markkanen is like the center of Alonzo deal or something like that, or some sort of protected pick exchanges hands, whatever the case may be. It's not clear how desperate the Pelicans are to get off Lonzo's contract. I personally don't even know why they're trying to trade him, but clearly they are. It's been rumored quite often. You know, I think yes and no, it would say something about the Bulls' confidence in Kobe White if they go after Alonzo. If he stays on the team, yeah, I mean, he's probably going to be relegated to a six-man bench-type role for the foreseeable future, and that would kind of lock him in that place, right? Because you have LaVine, who the Bulls will have for the next couple years, and then they likely might try to lock him up further, given how well he's played. And then you'd have his backcourt, maybe being Ball, I assume would be a starter alongside LaVine. So that, you know, just naturally puts Kobe White to the bench. But so, yes, that is sort of a demotion to his mostly starting role this year. I don't think he's starting currently, but you know, he's had that role, they've had that confidence in him to pick him as the lead guard. That being said, I think it's just a role change more than anything. Like, you can really pitch guys these days on, you know, come off the bench, be that Lou Williams type guy. You're gonna still play 25 to 35 minutes a game. It's just gonna be a little bit more situational. You're gonna feast on backups and put up great numbers scoring wise that's actually a role that I think Kobe White is a really good fit for as he currently plays. And maybe he can then develop a little bit more over the course of his career and turn into more of that, you know, starting caliber guard. But even then, starting caliber guards like Lou Williams sometimes come off the bench because it just makes sense more with their skill set. So I think it both would be sort of a sign that, okay, maybe they long-term don't think that Kobe White is the best partner for Zach LaVine. But it also could mean, you know, hey, we just think Kobe White could be really good in a bench role. He plays well with Lonzo Ball. I think they'd be a good fit together. Ball would be a good fit with Zach LaVine and what he does, being, you know, primarily an on-ball guy. I think there's a good reason for the trade either way, and I don't think it would necessarily have to be, like, devastating to White's confidence. He just would have to adjust to a slightly different role.
Matt, I've got one more Bull-specific. Now, you know, Lon and I...
He's making me close my microphone. I can't even talk, Matt.
You know, Lon and I are college hoops guys. Like, Indiana and Rutgers is on a Tuesday night. That's what we're watching, as much as that probably
makes...
Yeah, baby. It probably makes you gag. And I fully understand why. Versus whoever the Bulls are playing. But I'll admit, this year they've been intriguing. They've been entertaining. Zach LaVine has had a really good year, an all-star. What I'm boiling down to is to get Alonzo, to get a Victor Oladipo, and try to be more competitive in that playoff picture. Is it worth it as far as what you might sacrifice with draft position or who you'd have to give up? Because we know that's kind of that purgatory late in that, you know, the 7 seed, the 8 seed, when you know you're going to get beat by Lon's Sixers or the Nets or whatever. Maybe how do you look at that?
Yeah, I mean, that's just a really good, like, overall team philosophy, team building perspective. And I think the state of the Bulls is such that they have been rebuilding for years now. And you don't have to make any drastic moves. At least, and this is all my opinion, but I don't think you make a drastic move. I don't think it would take a drastic move to get Alonzo, right? Like, I think if you're like, let's go try to, you know, peel off Devin Booker from the Suns, that's a wild move that, you know, the Suns wouldn't say yes to. But like that, going for a crazy big young star to me and giving up a ton of draft capital to do it does not make the most sense in the world, because it's possible that even if the Bulls acquired another young star to go alongside Zach LaVine, it's possible they still wouldn't be quite good enough to, you know, be in that top four, you know, echelon of the East. So I don't know that that makes a ton of sense. However, you know, if Lonzo comes down to, okay, we'll give up a protected first round pick. Maybe the Pelicans have some use for Thad Young or something. But I think ultimately, like, what you're trying to do is just, the Bulls need to just make steps as a franchise. They need to prove that they can actually be a functional franchise, that they can win games. That's why I actually liked this past summer when they ended up signing Garrett Temple and Thad Young, both of which have turned out to be great signings, because that's just two veterans you want on your side, right? Those are two guys who are going to come in, they're going to play solid minutes for you, they're going to do what you need to do, and they're going to make your young players develop better and play better and, you know, really show what they're capable of. So to me, a small move like that, trying to upgrade yourself right now at the cost of maybe a protected first round pick, at the cost of maybe one of these young guys like a Kobe White, maybe you give up, or, you know, go ahead and toss out Denzel Valentine. I don't know if he has any value right now. Basically anybody except, to me, Patrick Williams and maybe Zach LaVine is probably on the table. Wendell Carter, sort of borderline. I'm always been very intrigued by him, but who knows why he's continuing to sort of struggle. But yeah, I think philosophically, that's just where I am at for the Bulls franchise. They've lost for so long. It's time to make some progress. You don't have to make a crazy move, but they should be making some sort of move to try to better themselves. And right now, they're basically in the playoff race, or at least the race to be in that play-in game. I think, why not? You know, go for that. Give your fans something to root for. It's not like there's been anything lately.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Matt Cilich, but on Twitter, it's at @mcilich, the number 2.
Correct.
So
that is correct.
Don't spell out the number 2, just mcilich 2. Just the number. That's how you find Matt. If you love the NBA, Matt is all about it, and his DMs are open. I don't know if they are. So I won't say that. All right, so Matt, I want to ask you this. With free agency tomorrow, Derek hit on the Bulls. Who's the biggest name? Is it Oladipo or maybe a couple of big names that will go somewhere, and where do they go, you think?
Yeah, great question. So there's a couple things going on tomorrow that seem likely, but are not certain. And Lon, you'll take some interest in this. I always like to get a little Sixers talk in.
Okay.
Kyle Lowry is the biggest name. Oh. And Kyle Lowry, a notorious Philadelphia native, went to Villanova, played at Villanova for 2 years, and has kind of always been in sort of a will they or won't they trade talk situation with Philly, because the Sixers really want to have seen for the last several years that like they needed a playmaking upgrade, a guy who could shoot off the dribble as well, in addition to Ben Simmons. And Tobias Harris has been great this year, but he's still not quite to that level. He's not that point guard. So Kyle Lowry is the guy who makes a lot of sense. The Raptors have had a weird season. They've had an injury-prone season. Things just have not gone well for them, and it sounds like all the rumors are they are actually willing to potentially deal their franchise player, that Kyle Lowry could be on the table for one of these teams to go after. And to me, it makes so much sense if the Sixers can, if they're, you know, willing to give up the picks that it might take to do so. I think going after Kyle Lowry makes a huge sense. I mean, that could really truly change the way that we view the playoff race in the East. I'm not going to say it, you know, makes them a shoe-in candidate to make the finals, but I do think it is interesting enough that I think it greatly improves their finals chances and thus their chances of winning the title. So I think Kyle Lowry is the biggest name, and it sounds like the Sixers are pretty intrigued. Mm. And there are a couple other teams that I think could get in on it, but to me, the one that makes the most sense that I'm actually rooting for is for the Sixers to make that big grab and try to elevate themselves to a true title contender you can have real confidence
in. I mean, as long as they avoid Boston in the playoffs, then maybe they can make the finals. That always ticks me off. But, you know, that's a great point, Matt. And I'm to the point now as a Sixers fan with Embiid and Simmons. I mean, eventually something's got to happen if you just continue to not get it done, right? Something is going to have to happen in that regard. So if you go get a Lowry and pair that with a Simmons and an Embiid, even for just a playoff run, I'm all about it. I don't even know what it's going to cost you in the future. I'm just tired of just kind of where they're at. I know they've won more than what they did for a long time when they were trying to get to this point, but now we're just kind of in this point for the last 3 years. And granted, they've won 30 games or 31, and they're playing extremely well, and I think have the best record in the East, and only Utah is better, but I still don't trust them. I still don't trust that team in the playoffs, whereas you give them Kyle Lowry, you've got a real sense that this team can get by Minnesota, can get by Brooklyn, and you know, make it to the NBA Finals, which in that regard, who knows, you know? And you'd have to consider yourself a solid season, obviously, even if you don't win it.
Yeah, I think absolutely. I mean, and in terms of the cost, it's not like, you know, when earlier in the season we were talking about, like, could the, you know, Philly potentially trade for James Harden? James Harden is, you know, a top five, top seven player in the entire league. That was probably going to cost Ben Simmons, or at least, you know, a bajillion picks if it was going to get done, right? This is Kyle Lowry. He's a little bit older than James Harden.
Right.
He's not as good a player as James Harden. He's still a great player, but not a guy who's seen around the league is that much value compared to Harden. So I don't think you have to give up assets that the Sixers would be like a hard no on, right? You're not going to have to give up Simmons. You could even probably keep a guy like Shake Milton, who's been a really good bench scorer for them and has kind of started on and off. Seth Curry, I think you could probably keep on the team. Really, the cost you're talking about in terms of like making the salaries match is something like Danny Green, who's been okay this year, not great. He's got a pretty big contract. You're going to have to give up maybe a couple of the other bench guys, a guy like maybe Mike Scott, who hasn't done much this year. One interesting young player, maybe two, like a Matisse Thybulle.
Oh, I like him.
A really fun player to watch. Really fun player to watch, but you know, if you're going to try to win a title, guy you probably would be willing to give up. Tyrese Maxey maybe could be on the table as well. Another fun young player, but you know, those are the sort of, it's nothing that's going to break your franchise long-term, right? Yeah. To give up one of those guys. And the end of the day, you might increase your title chances to a degree that it's definitely worth it. And then obviously I think there would probably have to be at least one pick attached to that.
Fair enough.
But for the Sixers, the track that they're on, they're probably going to have pretty bad picks the next several years. They can expect to be among the top 5 to 7 teams in the league every year, as long as they keep this Simmons and Embiid core together.
Yeah.
So to me, it actually makes a ton of sense to do something like that. And I think the cost is not prohibitive.
Man, I hope you're right. And in today's NBA world, Derek, that draft pick could actually be 2050 and protected into the third round.
Right.
There you go.
All right, I'll shut up.
I've got a question for Cilic on Andre Drummond. Now, I got thrown off here because I'm on his basketball reference page trying to see when the last time he's played, but
big boy.
I stumbled into his nickname, the Big Penguin. Where does that rank in the NBA, Matt?
That's awesome.
I got to tell you, they come up with some of the wildest stuff on basketball reference that I have absolutely never heard of in my life. I can't say I've ever encountered the Big Penguin nickname in the wild. That is incredible, though.
It's a missed opportunity for all of us out there.
Not many big penguins.
No. You know, the Big Penguin hasn't played in
the craziest thing about Andre Drummond is that he's still only 27.
What?
Which is like, yeah. I feel like he's like a 14-year NBA vet, and yet he's 27.
Okay, that blows my... If you would have asked me right now how old he is, I would have said 35. He's 27? My goodness. My goodness.
He's going to feel all love, young 27. When he plays next, he hadn't played in a month and a half. We've seen the Lakers rumored, the Clippers, the Celtics. Like, it seems like anybody in the playoffs is kind of thrown in there. We heard the Nets for a long time as well. Where do you think he ultimately ends up?
I see this, actually. I think the Lakers make a ton of sense. So likely not a – it could be a trade, could be somebody just gives up a second, but I actually think it makes more sense for Cleveland if they were to just buy him out of his contract. I don't think they're going to be able to get a ton of value for him. Drummond is definitely still a player that can provide some value for a team. It's just he can be used in sort of a limited context. He's just one of those guys that in the current modern NBA doesn't have a huge, a snug fit in terms of a role because, you know, in the playoffs, you'll pull out your small center, you know, your Draymond Green types in the league, and they're just going to run circles around this guy and force him to guard the three-point line and all that. But I do think there's enough in there that he could be a really valuable player, especially if you're going up against some of the traditionally great bigs in the league right now, like a Nikola Jokic, potentially a guy like Embiid, although Embiid has historically clowned Andre Drummond to an insane degree. but I think it makes a lot of sense with the Lakers. To me, I think buying out his contract in Cleveland and then sending him to the Lakers, having them just pick him up on a minimum deal, makes a ton of sense. They no longer have Dwight Howard. They've been kind of looking to fill that center presence from last year. I think he's a little bit more defensively intimidating and versatile than a guy like Montrezl Harrell, who's kind of been in that, like, can he play alongside AD as the nominal center on that team? So I think Drummond makes a lot of sense there. And the Lakers are not scared to have size on their team. I think it's something that just as an organization and with their coach Frank Vogel, they've really embraced the fact that size typically leads to a really strong, consistent regular season defense. And in the playoffs, you can still kind of carry some of that over and still have a pretty strong defense. The only question is, does it hurt your offense to the degree that, you know, you can't, you know, get away, you can't outscore these teams even with the better defense you have. So I think that the Lakers, I think that move makes the most sense. I wouldn't really get it as much for like a team like the Clippers, who has their sort of more plotting center in Ivica Zubac, who's there and has established himself and is playing well this year. To me, Lakers seem like a good fit. And I think he's a player who could make an impact in the playoffs, sort of in that Dwight Howard type role of last year, and that Howard is now sort of playing for the Sixers.
This is why Matt Cilic and I don't text on occasion, because number one, I have no idea who Itai Solovich or who is it?
Ivica Zubac.
Oh, that guy. And then you said versatile instead of versatile. Matt and I are just different people. So, Matt, I want to ask you this. Somebody just texted in and asked the question, will Myers Leonard ever play again in the league? Obviously, we all know what happened in that situation. He was suspended, et cetera. I mean, is this something that could doom the rest of his career, you think?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think that obviously not a good situation.
No, not at all.
Something that I'm sure he greatly regrets. I think that he will be back in the NBA. He'll be playing minutes at some point. You know, he has not been the best NBA player, but he's definitely been good enough to stick around. I think that despite, you know, the events that happened recently, it sounds like he's been a pretty good teammate, a guy that teams like having around. So I don't expect that this will just boot him from the league entirely.
Okay. That's fair.
That being said, he had not played a ton this year anyway. So it's not like he's, you know, was a superstar player and then had this regrettable incident and now, like, will he come back? He's been hurt, so I think he's already going to be out for the season regardless.
Got it.
But yeah, I think he's been hurt. He was going to be out. He wasn't playing that much regardless for the Heat. I think that he'll stay in the league, though. I think that he'll get picked up somewhere and we'll have an opportunity again.
Matt, I want to ask you about some of these, just kind of the standings, and as we trend here towards the spring and not a ton of regular season left, I guess, as we look at that. I was surprised as I pulled it up, the Hawks are fourth in the East.
Really?
And have kind of been on a hot streak here recently. What do you make of Trae Young? What's going on there that has them rolling in the right direction?
Yeah, so the Hawks have had this situation where, you know, have you guys ever heard of the phrase the dead cat bounce? Or the dead, it's like, yeah, the dead cat bounce, I think, is in the NBA, it's referred to where it's like almost changed slightly to the dead coach bounce, where your coach gets fired and then the interim coach comes in and you win, you rattle off a bunch of wins because the team's just energized, something different. So I think the Hawks had sort of a similar situation to that, where they were really struggling this year, did not look good, were well under 500 right around the All-Star break, and they decided to fire their coach, Lloyd Pierce, who I thought seemed like he was, frankly, doing a pretty good job. They've had a lot of injuries. I thought that was really the culprit for their bad start. But they fired him, and they brought in Nate McMillan, who's a very good coach and was doing excellently in Indiana, had coached previously in Portland. And Nate McMillan has apparently done a really good job because they rattled off all these wins. I think that they had reached sort of an easier part of their schedule, but I think it's like they have some crazy records since they replaced Lloyd Pierce with Nate McMillan. That's like, they're like, I don't know, 8-2, or they're like, you know, something like that, 9-2, something crazy. They rattled off like 8 straight wins. They've been playing really well. That team was sort of built up to be a contender, though. Like, they were trying to make the playoffs this year. That was the goal with some of the offseason moves they made. Stuff like signing Danilo Gallinari, acquiring Bogdan Bogdanovic. That sort of stuff has been a big part of what the Hawks are about this year. So that's been their goal. It is a little bit surprising to see them in fourth, and I think that's almost more a demerit to the Celtics, to the Pacers, and to the Raptors, teams that we thought would easily be in that top six range. Those teams have really just not been what they're supposed to be, and that's why you see weird things like, yeah, the Hawks in fourth, the Knicks in sixth, the Hornets in seventh.
Right.
All that stuff is not expected, and is really the product of injuries and frankly, poor play hampering the Celtics, Pacers, and Raptors.
Matt Cilich, I want to ask just a couple more, if you don't mind. We've kept you on too long already, and we apologize, but we appreciate, is what I'm trying to say, you doing this. Can you fill me in on why the Utah Jazz are so good?
Sure, yeah. I think that Utah, in this crazy season, right, where you know, people are out for COVID still at times, that has gone down quite a bit as vaccines have been proliferated, not just in, you know, in the league, but in society more broadly. But I think that in a crazy season like this, a lot of the teams that have had success have been those teams with continuity, right? Like the Sixers have had a lot of success. They really just brought in a new coach and for a fresh take on things, new coach, new GM, but they've kept a similar team to what they had previously.
Right.
You know, the core of the team is the same. The Bucks have also had a lot of success. What's weird is that some teams, you know, maybe this isn't a flawless theory because other teams that have been together for a while, like say the Celtics and the Raptors, have not had success. However, with the Jazz, I think it is a huge part of it because you just look at their rotation. They've got Bojan Bogdanovic. They've got Mike Conley, who's playing much better than he did last year. Rudy Gobert, obviously, Donovan Mitchell, Joe Ingles. I think those guys have just been together for a couple years now. And last year, I think, you know, before the season last year, they had just acquired Mike Conley. And everyone sort of thought like, oh, this is Utah taking the leap in terms of how good this team is going to be. It ended up not working at all because Mike Conley got off to the worst start to the season he's had in his entire career. He was absolutely terrible. And that's, you know, the biggest contract on their team. So they were really hurting from that and his poor performance. Then they made this trade at the deadline for Jordan Clarkson. Clarkson ended up playing absolutely incredibly well for them as sort of a scoring option off the bench. They got their starting lineup back in gear. Conley started playing well again. And I think it's just all come together this year where they've been really, really strong, put it all together. They're playing well on both ends. They're always going to have a good defense with Gobert. So really it's just about making shots for them. And I think that's how they've sort of gotten to that tier of being, you know, best in the league by, I think, maybe a game or two over the Sixers.
Great stuff from Matt Cilich. Last one, we promise. We'll let you go here.
By the way, Matt, do not bet. Do not gamble golf. Because I'm getting schooled right now on FanDuel and golf. Do you ever gamble golf?
I run a customized Masters like betting pool.
Ooh,
every year.
Oh,
where I put together a spreadsheet where you can like purchase. It's like, you know, those tweets where it's like create a lineup of these play, like,
oh,
you get one guy at every position and some guys cost $5, some guys cost 4, 3, 2, 1.
Ooh.
So I do that for the Masters based on Masters winning odds and have everyone create a team and then we score it all. And that's about the only golf gambling I've ever done, though. And that's just among friends.
You're going to have to text me and Pipes and I are in.
No doubt. I mean, yeah, you're more than welcome.
It's baby, let's go.
Can I say that? Is that not okay to say? It's just for fun.
Well, it's just for fun. All of this is for fun. That's exactly right. I think it's legal now in
it's
Illinois.
It's only fun if you win money.
Exactly.
Oh, it should be fine.
Matt, I got to ask you about Io. Projected probably anywhere from 20 to 30. Seems like a first-round pick that if Loyola performance didn't hurt him too much, I wouldn't expect it to drop him all the way outside of the second round. But we were curious. In that certain situation, you do get to go to a playoff team. You get to go to a situation that might be beneficial for him. Are there any teams that kind of stick out and put you on the spot that might be needing something that Io brings or something that might be a good situation for him that you kind of see in that kind of a range?
You know what? The first team that came to mind is actually Milwaukee because and they might acquire a guard here in the buyout market or at the deadline, but just because they just traded away DJ Augustine, who's been their bench guy, and they just don't really have a bench. You know, Io would be like sort of a solid two-way, a little bit of scoring off the bench, a little bit of playmaking. I think that's sort of where his role is. They don't really have a guy like that in Milwaukee, so I think that could be good, but I think they might not have their first-round pick this year, so that would have to be acquired via trade or something. But I think that team makes a lot of sense. There's a lot of teams in the in that range that may not like necessarily play. They may have a backup point guard, but every team can always use a solid two-way guard off the bench as like your fourth or fifth option. I think we've seen that with a team like Denver, who has benefited greatly from having Monte Morris on that team the last few years, who was a great college player and then kind of was taken late in the draft, I think maybe even a second rounder, and has turned into a really, really strong bench player who's very low cost for them, and they don't have to go out there and spend $10 million on the free agent market just to get a guy to back up their franchise player in Jamal Murray, right? So that's always a really valuable archetype to have, is just that low-cost bench guard. I think he does fit with a bunch of those teams. But, you know, ironically, a lot of those teams have given away all their draft capital right, to, you know, sort of load up on players. So I'm not exactly sure who could pick in that range right now. But I think, you know, for almost any top team in the league, it makes sense to have a guy like Io. I mean, solid team leader, solid team player, a guy who can score the ball pretty well, give you a little spark off the bench. I think all that stuff is really valuable to a playoff team.
Yeah, and as Pipe said yesterday, he'd be the next NBA guy since Myers Leonard. It's like, whoa, it's been way too long, man. We got to get that rolling. Matt Cilic, we kept you on way too long. We don't talk a lot of NBA, so when we get somebody as knowledgeable as you to talk about it, we have to keep you on a little extra. I can't thank you enough. Follow Matt on Twitter. It's at MSilich2. And if you're buying a vowel, that's an I on Cilic. And then just the number two. Matt, it is always great to catch up with you. I mean that, my friend. Thank you so much for the knowledge.
Thanks so much, guys. I'll send you the Masters pool link when it comes
out. Let's go. All right, buddy. Please do. Talk to you soon, Matt.
Have a good one.
All right, buddy. There it is. He's our guy. Matt Cilic. Former intern here, and I assume, and I forget as the years go on, but I assume that Matt and I probably talked a lot of NBA when he was here. I say it every time, it's uncanny. We asked him east, west, this thing, and he's got an answer and a good one. He needs to work.
Absolutely.
I don't need Brian Windhorst or whatever his name, Hurst.
We've been on a lot of pronunciations today.
We have. It's been a bad day.
Brian Windhorst.
Windhorst. I need Matt Cilic on ESPN doing my NBA. Because find somebody better. He may not have the connections maybe of Windhorst, obviously, but man, he's good. Matt Cilic would be the Adam Schefter of the NFL. Like tweeting out every 2 seconds where you have to just like mute him. Because you're like, okay, stop. Stop. In NBA free agency, that's tomorrow. So a lot of things are, maybe not a lot, but some solid names will shake up between now and tomorrow when NBA free agency ends, the end of it. So we'll look for that. All right, 359-2255. If you'd like to weigh in, that's 217-359-2255. We're back. It's The Drive.
Let's talk Pia Sports Bar and Grill. You and your friends can watch NCAA basketball both inside and outside in a tent, enjoying your favorite beverage and the food. Tasty bar specialties, their never-ending nachos, daily specials, and of course, that famous Slugger Burger and delicious French fries. Come and be a part of the party and cheer on your favorite team in postseason play. Make it Pia's for delicious food and excellent entertainment. Open Monday through Sunday, 7 a.m. to 2 a.m. It's Pia's, 1609 West Springfield, Champaign.
Hi, this is Gina from ABC Heating and Air Conditioning. If you want a locally owned family business to help you always be comfortable, who have trained, talented, licensed, and experienced technicians, then call me to schedule an appointment. We'll check your furnace to make sure it'll keep you warm this winter. And just like our name, ABC, you will always be comfortable. We are a licensed Amana dealer and are standing by to help you anytime, day or night. Call me, Gina, at 352-5400 or at abcheatingandac.com.
My name is Benjamin Rice, and I am a Champaign County farmer. I care about the food I produce for both my family and for yours. Farmers face adversity. The weather, the markets, and other issues bigger than any one person can control greatly impact our livelihood. But no matter what, I will care about how I farm. I will farm with sustainability and the future in mind so that my kids and grandkids will be able to follow in my footsteps and provide safe and nutritious food to the world. Champaign County Farmers Care, a message from the Champaign County Farm Bureau.
Long's Garage is the longest-running auto repair shop in Champaign-Urbana, and for good reason. Whether you're looking for new tires from any major brand or think there might be something wrong with your alignment, come to Long's Garage for honest service from ASC-certified technicians. They can help you with tire balancing, tire inspection, tire mounting, tire rotation, and so much more. All your tire needs will be fulfilled by the technicians at Long's, which is a Napa Auto Care facility, meaning you're in the best hands. Visit them today at 503 East Main Street in Urbana for tire service you can trust, 367-3945.
Short-term market fluctuations can be unnerving for everyone. A proven way to tune out the noise and focus on long-term investment goals is to adhere to a well-constructed investment plan. This is Eric Bolin with Provident Financial Group. If you don't have a plan in place, we can help create one designed specifically for you. Call us today for a complimentary consultation. Contact us at 217-366-3456 or find us online at providentfinancialgroupllc.com.
Securities and advisory services offered through Commonwealth Financial Network, member FINRA, SIPC, or registered investment advisor.
Paxton Hardware and Rental, located at 525 Market Street in Paxton, offers a huge catalog of rentals. Whether you're looking for a contractor, a do-it-yourself project, landscaping help, wedding rentals, or even party and event rentals like bounce houses, manager Scott Allen has what you need.
We have a really nice rental fleet. Our equipment we try to keep new, clean, in good operation, and at a super reasonable price.
Paxton Hardware and Rental, 217-379-3611.
You're going to get first-class, first-rate service here at Paxton Hardware and Rental.
Visit Dogtown Heating, Air, and Plumbing in Paxton. They're the area's premier Linux system dealer. With a BBB A-plus rating and accreditation, you can trust their expert technicians to deliver the best heating, cooling, and plumbing services in our area. From maintenance and repairs on any maker model to the highly regarded AC and furnace installations, Dogtown is the name to call to guarantee your comfort for any month of the year. Dogtown Heating, Air, and Plumbing, home of the $79 checkup and plumbing service call. Call 689-2166. Dogtown Heating and Air.
Look, staying healthy isn't easy. Watching your diet, hitting the gym, avoiding stress. But a good night's rest helps boost your overall health and wellness. And it couldn't be easier. The new Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed is the only bed that effortlessly adjusts in response to both of you. The result? You wake up ready for anything. Proven quality sleep is life-changing sleep. And now the new Queen Sleep Number 360 C4 Smart Bed is only $14.99, plus special financing, only for a limited time. Special financing subject to credit approval. Minimum monthly payments required. See store for details.
Allerton Equipment Repair is your trusted truck repair and service center in Central Illinois. Owner Chuck Bailey and his team of NAPA-certified mechanics have an extensive background in heavy-duty truck maintenance and repairs. They understand the importance of accurate truck diagnostics and fast, quality service for all types of repairs. Their team of mechanics are ready to work for you. Open Monday through Friday and Saturday by appointment. Give them a call at 217-834-3470. Allerton Equipment Repair. That's 834-3470.
If you need professional painters, look no further than Fresh Coat Painting. Locally owned Fresh Coat Painters of Champaign handle interior, exterior, residential, and commercial painting jobs. No matter how large or small, they take care of it with a genuine smile and with utmost courtesy. And they offer contact-free estimates and same as cash financing. For a contact-free estimate, just go to FreshCoatPainters.com. Stay local. Go with a professional painter you can trust. FreshCoatPainters.com.
The question is simple. Why Sarah Champagne?
Because they have a simple philosophy. Put the customer first.
Why Sarah Champagne?
When you walk in, you are their guest.
Why Sarah Champagne?
Because they respect your time and understand what you want and need.
Why Sarah Champagne?
They carry Honda, BMW, Subaru, Buick, and GMC.
Visit today off Burwash and Savoy or online at sarahchampagne.com.
Hey, Illini fans, it's Max Kellerman. Catch Lon Tay and Derek Piper weekdays from 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Derek Piper. Lon Tay and Derek Piper.
I like how he says it.
I do too, actually.
Hey, listen up, Central Illinois. Rector Construction is the reliable roofing, construction, and remodeling company serving the residents of Central Illinois. Giving the communities their key mission as their main desire is to help better Champaign County. We told you already. We're going to tell you again.
Yeah, baby.
It's time to think about your roof. All the winter weather, rain, get that taken care of. It's time to have your roof replaced and have your crawl space inspected. To do that, call or text Rector 217-281-7000 or visit them online at rectorconstruction.com. It's 281-7000 via text or phone or online at rectorconstruction.com.
This is one of those songs, in 20 years, I'll hear the start of this and I'll be like, oh yeah, 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 yeah. I like that, 50 Cent. I like it. I don't think it'll ever go bad for me. John in Camargo, thank you for the update. Matt Carpenter update. Carp went 0 for 3 today, currently batting 0-30. You have to understand that even I in fast pitch softball hit above 0-30. And I was horrible. His OPS is 261. So there you go. Matt Carpenter. Here's what's going to happen with him, by the way, Pipes. The Cardinals are not going to cut Matt Carpenter before the season begins. He's a veteran. He is established. He's done great things for the Cardinals. What's going to happen is they're going to, in the first 2 to 3 weeks of the season, give him enough at-bats to prove the point, and then he's going to be cut. Unless he just remarkably comes out and is hitting, 400 after 3 weeks. I don't see that happening. But I just really don't think the Cardinals are going to cut him before the season. So if you're that frustrated with Matt Carpenter, like we all are, I just don't think that St. Louis, and not that the first 2 weeks of the season are any less important than any other time, I just feel like the Cardinals are going to give him kind of a wink and a nod and say, hey, we gave you a fair shot, and you're not producing, and now it's time to move on. And if that guy came out and hit 400 the first 3 weeks, I would call every team in Major League Baseball and say, hey, Matt Carpenter's hot. He's feeling it, and he's yours for $4 million, and we'll pay the rest of the 18 or whatever. I mean, he's got an option.
That sounds good, but it's not going to happen.
No.
I mean, this guy hit 186 last year. We were giving him a wink and a nod. We were just winking both eyes.
Just closing our eyes, not wanting to watch it.
And he's 1 for 33 in spring training. Like
1 for 33.
He's 1 for 33.
That sounds worse than 0-30.
1 for 33. And he hit 186 last year. Like, you've seen it. He's done.
1 for 33. That's bad. Yeah, he's done. He's done. All right, Isaac, I told you I'd bring you on here. The three of us were talking about Illinois and the transfer portal and the transfers. And, of course, the NCAA still, Pipes, has not made the announcement that anybody can transfer anywhere without penalty one time. That's still a vote, right, that needs to be taken.
It does.
Along with a national letter.
It needs to be figured out because
Did you ever figure out if you put NLI?
I've been dealing with other message board stuff. I have not been able to check that.
Yeah,
this has not been
a good day for Pipes.
No, it has not.
It's not been
a good week.
He has fought through this.
Jeez.
He's had a...
Goodness gracious.
Kind of week.
Oh, yeah.
Or kind of...
I can say that, right?
Yeah. You can say hell. Yeah.
The NCAA needs to come out and vote on this because everyone in the industry, coaches, players, media operating under the full assumption that one-time transfer rule is going to pass.
Right.
If it doesn't, a lot of people are going to be shocked.
Oh.
And maybe you need to let these players know, can I transfer and go somewhere else right now and play right away?
It's or big, do I have to sit out?
Do I have to sit out? It's a big part of the decision. Everyone's operating. They can transfer. And I'm sure fully expected at some point to pass. But I don't know.
I don't either.
Don't know why the clarity's not there.
And I don't either. And Isaac, does it surprise you that we don't have an answer on that?
No, it doesn't. Because the NCAA seems to take forever on most things that are important that need to get taken care of. Like, I know we've been talking about the Kansas allegations and things that you would think would be like a two-day investigation. All
right,
you're in trouble. Or, all right, let's sit down tomorrow and figure out this whole transfer thing.
That was funny.
Yeah, so the things that...
Wait, so Will Wade said this? Well, then we'll figure it out in 12 months.
Yeah, let's put it on the back burner until until LSU stops making us money or until Kansas gets bad again.
That's so true.
But yeah, it's...
It's frustrating.
It's something that's... It's just so frustrating, and every year there's a handful of guys that you feel like really get screwed over, for lack of a better term, by the NCAA because they want to transfer. And I mean, we think back to Luke Ford. Seemed like he had a very good case.
As good as you can have.
And at least make it objective, right? So we were talking about on the break some guidelines that the NCAA has seemed to go by. You know, if your coach gets fired, I think that's a valid reason.
I do too.
That's a valid reason to leave your school, but that needs to be objective. Like, if the guy who recruited you, you signed with and came to the university, gets fired or leaves, then you should be able to leave.
It totally agree.
Again, not to just keep saying the same word, but objective rules to go by for the transfer market.
I think the way the NCAA, the way that they have basically worked for the last however many thousands of years, I feel like I want to take the objectivity off of them. And here's what I mean. Just make this rule to where everybody can transfer once. Now, am I going to hate it? Yeah. Because is it going to rip apart Valley teams, for instance? Could it rip apart Illinois? Could all of a sudden, I'm making this up, he better not, because I'll be mad, all of a sudden Andre Curbelo say, well,
no,
you know what?
No, don't do that.
I played out east in high school, and I know a lot of people out there, and boom, I'm gone. I mean, that's the kind of thing. It could really, I'll say this, if that rule passes in the next 5 years, there's going to be one time where it really helps Illinois, and there's going to be one time where you're going to be sitting there cussing the sky because you're like, no. So I feel like take that away from the NCAA, even the idea that they can make that decision. But you're right. I mean, I don't know. It's frustrating.
It could potentially help. I don't know, smaller schools, if you have a kid that comes to campus and thinks he's a hot shot, and then he's a freshman, he gets no playing time, but he sees, like, at SIU, I could be the star. Maybe you transfer.
That's true.
I think it could go both ways, like you're saying. And I'm sure being an Illinois fan who's recently been terribly hurt, I'm sure it would also hurt us in the future. But
I know. Well, I was going to go down the rabbit hole of looking at Illinois with scholarships and all this, but we don't have time pipes. So here's what I'm going to do a tease, a 24-hour tease, to say that we're going to tomorrow talk a little bit about that, how we're going to form the Illinois basketball roster. I mean, let's just get it all out this week, and then we can move on to baseball or spring football. We've got to get this out. So why don't we do that? Why don't we talk next year or next year?
Next year.
Tomorrow.
We'll talk next year. Sounds good.
About, you know, if, okay.
That should be enough time, right?
Exactly. We should be done by then. If DeMonte comes back, okay, this. If DeMonte doesn't. If Trent doesn't come back, this. If he does, et cetera. We'll kind of break that down tomorrow and try to look at the specifics of that as we go along. So why don't we do that? Because otherwise, we're just not going to have time today to get that done. So,
hey, we got through another one.
We did. And John, thank you for the positive. On a positive note, Tyler O'Neill's 14 of 35, hitting .400. Tommy Edmonds, 12 of 33, batting .364. I like it. Edmonds going to be your leadoff hitter. Goldie, 2. Arenado, 4. Or 3, excuse me. DeYoung, 4. I don't know how, maybe Tyler 5? I mean, O'Neill has shown himself. And by the way, Harrison Bader hurt, will not be there for opening day. He's got a forearm issue. I don't know how you can have a forearm issue when you don't actually hit. I'm confused by that. Sorry. So it looks like, you know, you're going to have, what, O'Neill in left, Carlson and center, and what, Lane Thomas or Justin Williams?
Oh, if he makes what a star-studded outfield. And what loaded outfield.
And Lane Thomas is just being handed opportunities and not doing anything with them. I don't know what to do. Who was the dude that I love that played for, like, Minnesota? And he's a vet. We're not going to think of it.
Byron Buxton?
No, we're not going to think of it in 25 seconds. But there's one guy out
Jock
there.
Jock Jones?
No, he played for the Astros.
Oh, Michael Brantley.
Yep.
Jock Jones is way back. Torrey Hunter.
Oh, that is, man. That's going way back. I love it. All right. Hey, thanks for coming in, Isaac.
No problem.
Much appreciated. Pipes, I'll see you tomorrow.
Yes, you will.
Let's get out of here. It's the drive. Stop.